Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a hot minute, but we are finally starting season 3. And now I have a very special guest today. Don't laugh. Very special. She is my girlfriend's BFF. Oh my God.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So her name is Shay. And she currently lives in North Bay, but we're about to go to a Taylor Swift concert in 2 days, so she's here right now. So we decided to do a podcast. And so, yeah, she's from North Bay. She's currently in school doing her bachelor's in social work. And I think we have a pretty interesting topic. I've never talked about this topic on the podcast before, I don't think. If so, it was a long time ago because I haven't made an episode in a long time. But yeah. So do you want to tell everyone what... Wait, first. Give a little intro. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then spill the tea on what the topic's going to be.
Okay, perfect. Hi, everyone. My name is Shay. And as Aaron said, I'm from North Bay, Ontario. I actually met Aaron's girlfriend, Max, when we were in school together. And we kind of became friends, and we've been a group ever since. So we're going to a Taylor Swift concert. Super pumped for that. It's going to be insane. But a little bit about me. I was born and raised in North Bay, and I actually planned to go into health sciences out of town before I decided on my undergrad, which is social work. And I really didn't feel a pull to go into health sciences. I definitely felt more drawn to social work because my end goal is to go into individual and couples counseling. I've always felt a really strong connection to talk to people and listen to people and help them that way. So that's kind of my end goal there. Some of the things I like to do in my free time is I love going to the gym. I have a part-time job at a supplement store, which is pretty fun. I'm also a full-time nanny in the summer times, which is really cool. I love the little kids that I nanny. I love going for hikes, rollerblading. There's lots of outdoorsy things to do in North Bay, so I'm always outside. Yeah, as for the topic today, we're going to be diving into a bit of self-development and self-growth, which is really exciting. Definitely something I like to talk about, and I have some points that we're going to touch on today. So if you're interested in hearing anything about that, stay tuned because we're going to dive into that a little bit more.
Yay. And I really need some self-development tools.
Don't we all?
So I'm really excited for what you have to say today.
Yeah. So I feel like the first point that I'm going to touch upon is learning to be independent and being okay alone, which I think is something a lot of us struggle with, especially with social media. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would agree with that, but I feel like with social media, we're always tied to someone or something or a bigger universe. And learning to kind of be okay and learn about your own interests is something that I think is really important when starting off bettering yourself and on a self-development journey. I think it's really difficult because it's hard to look inward and it's hard to reflect on traits that we may not be content with. I think nobody really wants to, you know, nitpick themselves in a way and fix the things that they aren't happy with, but when you're able to, it definitely can transform your life. So a couple tips that I would have about being independent is just really learning about what you're interested in and following those passions. So I know Erin mentioned that at a point in her life, she moved to Calgary because that was something she was really passionate about and she had a really great time. And I think that's really important to focus on is taking risks and not letting anyone dictate where you're going. I think everyone always has something to say. There's always someone in the back of your head or something pulling you in a different direction. But when you're independent and you're confident in your actions, I feel like it opens up a whole different world. I don't know if you would agree with that, Erin.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I need to take more risks in regards to pastimes. Yep. I feel like I'm so like lazy nowadays in like learning new things, yeah. which I feel like is a huge part about being independent, you know, is like doing your own stuff all the time and stuff like that. But I always do the same things and I feel like I get pretty bored. So I definitely need to learn to like get new pastimes. I always say things like, I want to learn how to knit. I want to learn how to make bread. I want to learn how to skateboard. And then I just don't do it.
Yeah. Like, and I feel like that is the same for a lot of people. I know for me personally, we've all been in that boat, honestly. What really changed for me was last summer, I took my first spin class, which is kind of out there, but I did it completely alone. I knew the instructor really well. She's one of my close friends, but I just signed up and I went alone. And I think that experience in itself was really empowering because I didn't ask anyone to go with me and I didn't know anyone there. It was completely foreign. I had no clue what I was doing. And after I went a few times and kind of got the hang of it, I definitely felt really confident. And that's another point that I want to touch on is to stop being afraid and transform being afraid into being confident.
Yeah.
Being afraid is on one spectrum and being confident is on the complete other end. And when you learn to transform that fear into confidence, it can push you in so many directions. Another experience I had is when I started going to the gym. I had no clue what I was doing. It was one of those things where I just kind of dove into it and I had people telling me, you know, you should do this, you should do this. But I ultimately took it upon myself to use it as an independent experience and put in my own time and effort into creating something that I was passionate about. And since then, I've really enjoyed it. But you really do have to dig deep to find your passions and discover what you actually want to do. It's definitely easy to put it off. I put off going to the gym for years. I remember saying, oh my God, I would love to go to the gym. I would love to do spin. I'd love to rollerblade. I actually bought a pair of rollerblades and they sat in my garage for 2 years until I actually started doing it.
Yeah.
But when you take the leap and you just, you know, put mind over matter, it can definitely help you gain that confidence that you need to move forward. Because since then, I definitely feel like I have the confidence to do other activities. It's kind of like building a wall. You have to start off somewhere and you have to slowly build it up. And each brick is kind of helping you and pushing you to become stronger. So learning to be independent and not relying on other people and being content with yourself and being alone in turn can help you be less afraid, which also helps you gain confidence. So it's kind of a bit of a staircase. I remember seeing this one, I think it was kind of like a motivational quote, but it was like a little staircase and there was someone at the bottom. It said, stop looking at the full staircase and just look at the step. And it's super fucking cheesy. but I think of it a lot. I actually think of it a lot. And I think it's true, regardless of how cheesy it is, to kind of stop looking at everything all at once and think of what you can do right now to make a difference. Whether that be, I don't know, going outside for a walk, discovering a new path, trying out knitting or skateboarding, and taking that pressure off yourself to do well. I think that's something we all struggle with, is putting way too much pressure on ourselves to perform.
Yeah,
it's performance anxiety.
Yeah. And I feel like, back on the confidence thing, I feel like so many people think that you're just born with confidence or you're just born with not, and it takes a lot of practice. Just like from my job, when I started, I work with so many people. I have new coworkers every single day and obviously new passengers every day. And, you know, when we do our safety checks, you have to like, okay, can you please put your table up? Can you recline your chair back? And when I first started, I was like, excuse me, sir, can you put your table up, please? Like for landing, like you just need to put it up. And I'm just like, put your table up, recline your chair. Like, it takes practice, man. Like,
it does.
Yeah, you're not just born with it. So
yeah, and there's so many different ways you can improve on it. I feel like so many people think it's a matter of waking up one day and being confident or choosing to be confident. But I think true confidence comes through being secure with yourself and understanding that you can only control what you can control and allowing yourself to truly be free and not hindered by other people's judgments. I think that in turn really promotes confidence. I think for a very long time, I was a follower of others. I definitely followed other people's lead. I followed ex-partners. I didn't have a good sense of self. And once I was able to learn to be okay being alone and enjoy being alone and got to know myself, I definitely gained some confidence. And I think it's always funny when people ask, like, oh, you're so confident. Like, you know, how do you do that? It's not something you do. It's, I think it's an active choice to allow yourself to attract good energy and to put out good energy and to truly be yourself. And in a world where there's so many replicas of people, social media influencers, it really is a gift to harness that because there's no one else like you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what kind of advice would you have for someone who's like going through a breakup and who's been with someone for so long and you're like used to being like beside someone, you know, and then you go to like being alone again? Because I feel like I have struggled with that, being around my family all the time and then getting my own place and then just being alone.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a very big, not difference, it's a bit big, like, stepping stone.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely a big change. And I think...
Yeah, change. That was the word I was looking for.
It happens to all of us at some point in life. There's all going to be times where we're completely alone and we're completely surrounded. And kind of going from one end to the other can be really difficult. I think my advice, my first piece of advice would be to sit with it, which is super difficult and super uncomfortable. And I think when you are completely alone, you have to pinpoint why you're uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
We all have opportunities to reflect. And I think it's really important to either journal, write it down, bullet point, just reflect on what makes you so what makes it so difficult. I know for me, I wrote down some goals. So when I was going through a breakup, I sat down and I wrote down a list. And I wrote down in the next 6 months, like, what do I want to accomplish? Or what is my ideal version of yourself? And I'm sure you can get this off fucking TikTok. but truly, when I hit that 6 month mark and I looked back, I had already accomplished more than half.
Yeah.
And it was really validating. So sitting down and being uncomfortable and reflecting on why you're uncomfortable and using that to promote self-growth is really important. I also think, as many people would say, staying busy is really important. I found that I did not stop going. When I went through my breakup, it was around the beginning of summer, which was honestly really great because I think summertime is always a season of transformation. Yeah. I did not stop traveling. I did not stop working. And that put me in so many uncomfortable but amazing situations. I think everything does fall into place as it should. And some people might think that's silly, which, hey, teach their own. But being open to new experiences is really important. And I honestly feel like there is no better time to try new things than when you're single. When you're in a relationship, you are considering someone else. It's not just you.
Yeah.
Whether you have kids, it's not just you anymore. But when you're single, it's truly a transformative time where you can put yourself first and not have to cater or consider anyone.
Yeah.
And when you think of your timeline, when you think of 0 to 100, let's hope we live to 100, you're gonna be single or alone for less of your life than you are with someone if you choose that route, of course. And you really have to utilize that time because it goes by so fast, and value the time that you have alone, because ultimately for a lot of people around, you know, after 25, a lot of people are looking to settle down. That means you've only had what, maybe like a quarter of your life alone. And by that time, a lot of people don't have a lot of experience looking inward and truly being alone and being content with it. So when think of that when you are sitting down, think of how precious that your time alone is, because whenever it happens, you're going to be connected to the hip with someone, likely.
Yeah.
So you really have to put that into perspective. And lastly, I think you really need to prioritize friends. And I know everyone says that, but for so many people that I've seen personally, and I've done it too, when you get into a relationship, you cut everyone off. You're so love infatuated that you lose your sense of self for someone else. And it's very common. We all do it. We've all been there. But really prioritizing friends and your personal identity is the best way to heal and the best way to grow. I think friends aren't valued enough in a way. I think we all take them for granted. We think that they'll be there forever, but eventually friends move, people move, get their lives together, and you miss them. So really prioritizing time with friends. I know for me, I'm a really big introvert at times, so I don't always want to go out or do things, but pushing yourself a little bit further each time can really help you kind of break the bounds of your loneliness. It's easy to just sit inside and scroll on TikTok. I do it. We all do it.
Yeah.
But saying yes and transforming the fear into confidence again is definitely what's going to allow you to seek new opportunities and participate in new opportunities and even meet some new people. I've met so many wonderful people through school, through other activities. Yeah, honestly, you just need to allow yourself to feel the emotions, but don't allow yourself to get too sucked in. Allow yourself to feel, but allow them to pass.
Yeah. I definitely need to prioritize making friends.
It's really hard.
And it's funny because I'm literally living in Toronto and there's so many people my age. Even if I wanted to make, you know, gay friends, girl that are friends, boys that are friends, people that like Harry Potter, people that actually have stuff in common with me compared to like a small town like Timmins or North Bay where there's like you have, you know, a very small list of people. But I've been here for a year and I still haven't prioritized it. I even got like the Bumble BFF thing to like try, but it's just like, it's so much work.
It is a lot of work. I actually used Bumble BFF when I lived down south and I met one of my best friends on there. So I can attest that if you put in the time and effort, sometimes you can find really great friends. I met a couple people there, but one of them I've really continued to talk to, and she actually lives like way down south and I live way up north, so we still continue to talk and prioritize each other, which is really nice. But I think you said it best, Erin, because you're right. I think if you look, you will find. You just have to be willing to look, because you're completely correct when you say Toronto has a lot to offer. I think we're all in our heads, of course, but when you kind of step back and reflect, everyone is doing their own thing. No one really cares that much. And that's something I've been trying to focus on. You could honestly go up to a stranger and they'd probably be more than happy to talk to you. So when you're thinking in terms of friends, think of everyone as a new possibility. You might meet someone on the street and that could lead you to like the best job ever. You have no clue. You have to be open, but you do have to be willing to put in the work, not only to create friends, but also to maintain them. And when you're used to not necessarily having a big group of friends, that can be a really difficult transition. So it's always important to give yourself grace and respect your own boundaries and your own energetic battery level.
Yeah.
But it comes down to you. And that's something that I think we're all not wanting to hear, is that you are responsible for your choices, actions, reactions, in reactions. You're the one who makes or breaks it. And that is something that's tough, because we all want friends to fall out of the sky. We all want new opportunities to fall out of the sky. But things take work. And I can attest from being friends with Max, like, we went from seeing each other all the time to not seeing each other all the time. But we still prioritize seeing each other when we can. And, you know, that's enough. So you have to be able to be flexible and be able to respect other people's boundaries while still putting in work to maintain the friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I find for me, I usually make my friends in like the workplace. So having this job has been like extra difficult, because you see them once for like 4 or 5 hours and then you never see them again.
Yeah.
Like, obviously there've been some people who like I vibe with. So I'm like, hey, like what's your Insta? So we'll like exchange that, and then we just kind of like don't hang out because we've only saw each other one time, you know, so it's kind of like awkward to make the first step. But I find that, like, even in the workplace, like, my other jobs, it's mostly, like, friendships at a convenience, right? Like, yep. You just see them every single day, and then you just so happen to build, like, a connection with them, and, you know, you tell them about your life, and they tell them, they tell you about theirs, and so I don't actually know if I've truly made a friend that, like, I genuinely, like, I guess. Other than when I went to Calgary, I made so many amazing friends because I prioritized that because, you know, I was looking to make friends. And I still talk to them. So that's nice, which is kind of a reason why I want to go to Calgary eventually and live there. But, yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see how making friends in that sense would be difficult. And I empathize with that a lot because I think I've been in situations like that too. And I think my biggest advice would be you get what you put out, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a phase like that as well where I felt very closed off and I felt like all my friendships were very transactional. It was either through school, through work, through other friends of a friend. I think what changed for me was when I consciously allowed myself and told myself I am capable of having friendships and I want to make friends, and you affirm that. It's, although not everyone believes in it, which is completely okay, but I think energy and, like, the vibes of a friendship really have a lot to do with that. I think people can really pick up on if you are closed off or if you're open. I know for me personally, I can definitely tell when I'm talking to someone what their, not necessarily intentions are, but I think a lot of people have that intuition where you can tell if you're going to be friends or not.
Yeah.
And if you aren't necessarily open to even exploring that possibility, I think it can create a lot of barriers for you. So kind of allowing yourself to, you know, think about what it might be like when you do have friends, or think about what you might look for in a friend, can kind of make it a bit easier. But I think you said it best, you were looking for friends when you were in Calgary. I know a lot of people say things come to you when you're not looking for them, which mm-hmm. is very true, but I think if you're actively looking for friends, that's a different situation. Going back to the spin class, I met a lot of people there that I didn't necessarily hang out with, but it definitely made me feel welcomed. And I think it's important to understand that not all friends are meant to be best friends.
Yeah.
And there's different categories of friends. I have certain friends that I kind of reserve for going out with. I have certain friends that I reserve for maybe going out to brunch with every few weeks. I have certain friends that I know that I only talk to a few times a month, but we're still really close. And understanding that people kind of come and go into your life and they're not all meant to be in one specific category can really help alleviate that pressure of making absolute best friends that you think you're going to share your entire life with and have sleepovers with and do tea time. Sometimes that's just not the case, and some people just come into your life to offer you support in that moment and then you move on. So I think that's important to note, is that some things aren't necessarily meant to be forever or lifetime situations. They're more meant to help you in that moment and to show you what can be learned from that specific situation.
So where does Max fall in that friend category?
Well, Max is a lifetime friend, so and so are you. So that's different. But more so, like, you know, people...
By convenience.
No, not at all. But more so people that, you know, like, if you're talking to them at work, you know, that might just be for a season of your life.
Yeah.
And learning to accept that is important. Mm-hmm. But when you are seeking lifetime friends, you really do have to consider what you value and if their values are in alignment. And that's why, again, it's important to be independent and get really clear on what you're looking for. Finding friends is like dating. To be honest, you're not going to click with everyone. You're not going to want to see people again. You're going to hang out with them once and you're probably going to ghost them. It happens. It's literally like dating without, like,
the intimacy.
Intimacy. It really is. And I almost think it's harder because there isn't that level of, like, intimacy that can almost, like, tie you together, if that makes sense. Because unless you are really, like, into your physical attraction of your friend, like, I feel like that's not something you really consider. Whereas when you are dating, like, that's a point that you would consider. So there's, like, less of a physical aspect and more of an emotional and energetic pull to friends, and a lot of people you just don't click with. So you have to be really clear on who you want in your life and who you don't want in your life. And that brings me to my third point. And my third point is to not take things personally. So the sentence that I'm going to share with you is that people's actions, reactions, and inactions are a direct reflection of their character and insecurities and not yours. So let's break that down. So what that means is the way people act towards you, the way you might think someone feels about you, what people say, is a direct reflection of their own life experiences and not yours. And that can be really hard to understand, because I think for me personally, and I feel like for you, Erin, we both take things like kind of personally, like we think it's our fault or we caused this, or we want to make it better, we're people pleasers. Yeah. We want to automatically correct the situation because we think we contributed to it. And 90% of the time, that is not the case.
How do you know me so well?
A future therapist.
Or Max spills the tea. What has she said about me?
Shh, I can't tell. But really, when you're looking at a situation, we obviously we think about ourselves in the situation oftentimes too much. And what has really set me apart and allowed me to grow the most is understanding that everyone has their own issues, and oftentimes those issues reflect in their day-to-day actions and interactions, right? So I had a situation with a friend, and I definitely felt like it was my fault. I thought that, you know, I was doing something completely wrong. I didn't feel confident. I felt the energy was weird. And I come to find out that this is a very universal experience that this friend has had with other people. Mm-hmm. Other people have told me, they're like, I felt that way too. You know, so it kind of just validated that it wasn't me, and it was more so the other person and what they were going through at the time. And I think it's important to understand that there are so many people in the world, and we have so much going on. It's so easy to like nitpick and overthink. But when you free yourself and you understand that you can only control what you control, it is really life-changing. And ultimately, allowing yourself to be free and be confident in yourself can really push you in the right direction of self-growth. Like, I feel like when you know who you are and you know your values and you understand that you would never intentionally make someone feel uncomfortable, there's no need to feel like you're making someone uncomfortable, because you know yourself and you know you wouldn't do that, if that makes sense. So I feel like that's really important, is understanding that people's actions and reactions are a reflection of them and not you. And you can also analyze that in your own sense. I know for me, like, if I'm having a bad day and I'm acting, you know, different, that's a reflection of me and what I'm going through. And if you're aware of that, it can really help you understand your like mood, your pattern. It can help you dictate what you want to do that way, because I think oftentimes we're programmed to just go through life robotically and not really take into consideration how we truly and deeply feel. So when you reach that level of self-awareness, it can allow you to make more conscious decisions.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's some deep shit right now.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming, but just getting back to like the main point, everyone is going through their own things. So not taking things personally and allowing other people to take responsibility for their emotions and mood and personal experiences can alleviate that pressure off you, which in turn can allow you to be more independent, gain confidence, go out and do things. If someone's judging you, that says more about them than it does about you.
Yeah.
If you're being a good person and you're helping someone and someone questions, that's on them. That has nothing to do with you. If you know at the core that you are a good person and you know your values and you know what you want to get out of life, there's no reason to question what other people are thinking. What it do we think of that?
It all ties back into the confidence.
Yes, confidence is key.
Yeah.
So those are the three points that I wanted to chat about today with Aaron. I don't know if you have anything to add.
I don't think so. I think it's definitely a great topic to talk about, and I feel like nowadays a lot of people are talking about this because we just see like a lot of people struggling, right? So I feel like it's a great topic to talk about and to discuss, and hopefully people who are listening get a little bit of insight into how they can better their self-development and gain confidence.
Yeah, and definitely hope this helps some people. Again, it's a very individualistic process. Not everything doesn't work for each person, but hopefully you can consider some things, and if you're on a self-development journey, keep going, keep finding things that motivate you, and yeah, allow life to guide you and enjoy it.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up and like the podcast.
All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the first episode of season 3 that hopefully will drop soon and I don't get lazy and not edit and post. So I just wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I knew you would be a great first guest because you're so good at talking. You're so good at, I don't remember what the word is, but when you like go from one subject to the next subject, you're good at
winging
like,
it.
No, not winging it. There's like a specific English word that I can't think of right now. But anyways, you're really good at that.
Thank
you.
I'm
glad you came on the podcast, and next time you come to Toronto, every time you come to Toronto, we're just gonna do a podcast together.
Yep, it's happening. Stay tuned.
So if anyone wants to get into contact with you, follow you on the gram, do you want to share that?
Yeah, I'll
okay
share.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely happy to talk to anyone. Send me a DM. My Instagram is shay.lyngram, so it's shay.lyngraham. So don't hesitate to reach out if you want to chat. Don't know if anyone will actually want to, but if you do,
I'm sure they will want to. All right, guys, well, thanks for listening, thanks for tuning in, thanks for being patient with me and coming back to the podcast. If you've been a longtime fan, I thank you. So take care. Take some tips from this self-growth. And stay tuned for the next episode. Dun, dun, dun.
Bye.
What is it going to be? Bye.